Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Is there anything that you want to talk about in today's session?
Yeah, so let's see. Saturday night, the Texas Tech Red Raiders played the Abilene Christian Wildcats, a team that we were favored to beat by 32.5 points. And well, things didn't go according to plan. It was a much closer game, a hard-fought game, a game that we honestly got really lucky that we won. The ACU had multiple opportunities to give us the biggest loss maybe in program history, and somehow we survived it. We won 52-51, but winning against a team like ACU that close just kind of left us all feeling like we actually lost that game.
Right. Are there any other deeper feelings that you feel like you need to explore surrounding your relationship with Texas Tech?
I mean, perhaps. I mean, we won the game, right? We're 1-0, 1-0 mentality that Joey McGuire keeps preaching, but yet I just build up these expectations every year and I get excited and the season starts and it's immediately like the hope is just taken away from you. And, I just long for the days of enjoying Texas Tech football.
Right. And so that tells me there has to have been a time in your life where Texas Tech didn't make you feel this way, correct?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I would say I like really loved Texas Tech football. That's where I fell in love with Texas Tech football, going to games with my dad and my family and watching the Mike Leach coached Red Raiders go out there and do things on offense that nobody had ever seen, and the Graham Harrells, Wes Welkers, Michael Crabtrees, like those guys brought a lot of joy. I there was a lot of winning. We lost games, but I never remember feeling like this after losses. I just remember the good times that we had and all the fun trips that the family went on to watch games and going to the Jones and beating Texas and things like that always stand out more than some of those painful losses.
Right. I hear you. So, when would you say, what point in your life that you started feeling these more negative feelings when you think about Texas Tech?
I would say the older I got, once I got into college and beyond college, I started paying for my own tickets. We, go on trips to watch games at places and we'd lose those games. And, it just a lot of money I keep spending on this team and hoping that they're going to give me something back in return. And just time and time again, I'm left empty-handed.
Right. And so you are doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. Do you know what the definition of the word that I just described is?
I believe that would be insanity, if I am correct.
Yes, that's actually exactly what I was describing. You've come so far in discovering what the problem might be. Might I just say, though, don't you have a podcast that you can talk to someone about this with instead of your therapist?
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and tonight is Wednesday, September the 4th, and we are recording episode 232. Today, we're discussing a close call to the ACU Wildcats from Saturday night. We'll be going through that game, recapping it, and then also moving forward. We got an upcoming game with Washington State on Saturday, so we'll also be previewing that. So lots to get into this week. We were hoping that we were going to have an easy ACU recap, but we actually have some things to talk about there, unfortunately, as all of us Red Raider fans know. And so we will be getting to that. But first, make sure you are following the tailgate. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars for the tailgate, please. And if you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at tailgate_talks if you want to get our thoughts during the games, our live thoughts as things are happening. that's where you want to follow us, because we try to tweet often. If we're in the stadium, our tweets might not get out that fast, but Saturday night we'll be watching here in Lubbock, so we'll fire those tweets off for you, so follow us there. We do have a Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram as well. If you want to follow those, feel free to. And lastly, if you have any comments, questions, or anything you would like to hear us discuss on the tailgate, you can always shoot us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go!
Well, Dustin, Saturday came with a lot of excitement. Red Raider Nation was buzzing, ready to get the season going. Some people had drank the Kool-Aid. Some people, like us, hadn't drank the Kool-Aid, but we were still excited for this season to start nonetheless. Like every football season brims with hope, joy, and excitement. And, well, that all came to a crashing halt Saturday night after a 52-51 victory over the ACU Wildcats. The ACU Wildcats, who don't even exist in college football 25, coming away with the near upset. The Red Raiders, honestly, lucky to pull away with the victory there at the end. Dustin, you were at a wedding Saturday night, so luckily you did not have to witness this atrocity in person. But what were your thoughts on the nightmare game one against the ACU Wildcats?
Yes, luckily I had an excuse for not attending or watching all of this game, so I'm going to preface with sorry if I don't know some things and just defer to you on some stuff. Yeah. Was able to watch most of the first half and then some of the end of the fourth quarter, so I saw quite a bit. I don't know if it was a nightmare quite necessarily. You're also going to hear two sides of a coin here from me and Brooks.
Yeah,
I'm a little more on the not so terrible side. You know, it was a good chance to coach your guys through a close game and how to win a game and win an overtime game. At the end of it, you're 1-0, and at this point, that's all that matters. Now, I'm sure in that locker room and film room and practice field this week is going to really suck.
And I hope so.
I think it should be more. Here's how I kind of define it when some people ask me this week, especially at work. Like, now it's not all, you know, rainbows and lollipops and everybody's happy we just won. No, I wouldn't go there. But it was eye-opening or eyebrow-raising to most people. That's where I think the reaction should be, like, you know, just a little awareness. Like, don't freak out and jump off the bridge yet, but it should raise some eyebrows, especially some certain key positions and parts that we'll get into. So that's where I'm at. At the end of the day, it's 1-0. Now they know they got a lot to fix, or a lot to fix on some parts.
Yeah, I'm definitely more on the negative side here. So it might be nice to have the two contrasting thoughts on this, because – after the game, you know, just leaving the stadium, it felt like a loss. Like, the way people were walking around, the quietness, it was a little bit of shock of like, oh my gosh, like, we had to get lucky to pull the victory out against ACU. And so, you know, that I joked to somebody the other day, it was like the ACU fans were talking trash and we couldn't really talk back, because winning by one to them. You know, like, yeah, it was like, yeah, good for you guys. You know, they get to puff their chest in a loss. That rarely gets to happen. You were, you know, they had the ball at the end of the regulation with a chance to win the game. You somehow, you know, a couple bad play calls from them.
Yeah.
You were luckily able to survive that. And then, yeah, they go for two at the end there. And you're that close to one play away from having one of the worst losses of all time for this program. And you know, and that was Joey McGuire's sentiment after the game. It's like, hey, we did this last year and we made the plays this year to get the win.
cool. I just wish you wouldn't put yourself.
Tangent real quick, because it got brought up to me today by somebody else. We aren't great in game ones.
Yeah, what is the deal?
Like, with I game remember one? Sam Houston State gave us a run like 8 years ago.
Central Arkansas at Houston one
Baptist won that 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about coming out the gates in game one.
Yeah, last year Wyoming. I mean, this game was eerily similar to last year's game. Besides, like, us scoring 50 points and, you know, offense being able to still score throughout. You get up 15-0 on them. You start off with a touchdown. You get a turnover. You go score. You go for a 2-point conversion. You're up 15-0. People are having a good time. It's a party in the Jones. How the season's supposed to get started, and then after that, it just kind of all breaks loose. And offense did a decent job. I thought they did what they were supposed to do in this game. I don't think anything they did was that amazing. I thought there were some key moments in the game for them to. Really put this game away. They failed on that. They failed at the end of the first half to go get a score in the 2-minute drill. That was disappointing. Two fourth down attempts, one at the goal line that you were unable to convert on. Ran the same play like three straight times. It was ridiculous. Terrible play calling by Zach Kittley. Terrible job by the offensive line there to try to get 1 yard for Taj. And then he had another fourth down attempt in, I can't remember if it was third or fourth quarter at this point. Felt like it was fourth quarter that you failed. Bad blocking led to a tip pass that didn't get it. And then when you needed to score a couple touchdowns, you had to settle for field goals, which allowed them to just drive down the field, score touchdowns to tie the thing up and ultimately give them a chance to almost go win the game against you because you couldn't score a touchdown. Yeah. You had to settle for a field goal. So, a lot of frustrating things, I thought, on both sides of the ball. I thought the offensive praise this week has been a little much. I think people were just excited to see a healthy Barrett Morton and 50 points, something we haven't done in over a season. Needed an overtime to get there. So let's get into the offensive side of the ball while sure. I'm discussing that. Here's some stats for the first game of the season. Barrett Morton, 30 for 42. For 378 yards and 5 touchdown passes, a career high for Barrett Morton. Taj Brooks, 27 carries for 153 yards and 1 touchdown. He is now 1,014 yards away from breaking that record. I want to pause here. 27 carries for Taj Brooks against ACU. Dustin, do you like that?
I do not like that.
I do not like that either. I thought he was good in this game. I thought one of the glaring weaknesses of the offensive line might have been the run blocking in this game. I thought there were several times where it was really hard for even Taj to get some running lanes going. He obviously had his usual 153 yards. I think he averaged over 5 yards per carry doing that. Typical Taj stuff, but
yeah,
I would have liked to see some other guys get some run there and not wear him out against ACU.
That's what I was going to say. Like 27 is too much. We talked about it the other day, like 15 to 20 at the most, but we had to play him more and whatnot. But like Cameron and Cameron Dickey got one apiece and Cam Brown with one. So
I don't know if that's like a not trusting them or it's just like we're just too confident in Taj, which I get.
I think it's more the latter and just going with what you know and your better option.
Yeah. It's great until you see the injury report that has him questionable with an arm injury. And then you're like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? We'll get into that more a little bit later. Receiving wise, one of the upgrades that you could tell from this first game, early returns, Josh Kelly, 10 receptions for 156 yards and a touchdown, led the team in targets. Coy Aiken, 5 catches for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Conyers, tight end transfer, 5 for 63 and a touchdown, also converted on a 2-point attempt for you there. So it kind of showed his versatility. Caleb Douglas, another new guy, 4 for 42 and the key touchdown in overtime, which proved to be the game-winning touchdown for you. So pretty good offensively. What are your thoughts on the receivers after I kind of go through some of those numbers for you and including the tight ends on that?
Yeah, it definitely shows that your revamped skill group is a plus and a hit and all the positive things. Like, your two receivers that you brought in were everything as advertised. Jalen Connors is everything. You even ran some trickery with him because he can do that. And now team's got a plan for that for 5 extra minutes every week. But, I mean, yeah, you said Caleb Douglas made the play in overtime. That was a broken play. He kind of just made it happen.
Yeah.
For us and slipped in the end zone. And Kelly was pretty good all game. Coy had a great start. I mean, we talk about it with basketball all the time, but now that Coy is like bumped down to like number 3 receiver, he's way better because he was really good, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. The Conyers, our tight ends were still really good. I mean, the upgrades were everything as advertised. And now you have way more to play with in a good way. And you don't have to force as much as you had to try to last year and it not work. Now, I was thinking about this earlier, like, your offensive line still had some, I don't know, issues we'll talk about in a minute, but I think having those options out in the receiving group on that field help everybody. They help Barron, obviously, because he knows he has lots of options to look at, not just only Coy's out there and that's it, like last year.
Yeah.
It should help Taj. And vice versa. If they want to smash the box and go for Taj, great. Good luck one-on-one with Kelly and Caleb, you know? So, like, we talked about it last year, and this was the hope of the options and the mismatches. And now I think we can see that we have it. And I love what we can do from here with it.
Yeah. One of my, and I don't know if it's necessarily a gripe from the game. I just thought the play calling, and it kind of should be, it's ACU. You don't want to break everything out for ACU. I thought the play calling was a little lackluster from Kitley. I'm trying to give him a break on this one. But I really did think that he put the receivers in good positions to win. I thought they were able to get open early and often for Barron, a lot of quick looks. There were some times where it's something I just don't know if Barron is up there yet at that level as a quarterback where he can scan the field. There's a few times where I saw Dre McCray bust one wide open to the left side, but he doesn't look at that side of the field. And instead is like staring down, routes 1 or 2. But I definitely think like Josh Kelly was his favorite target. He had the most targets in the game. He was able to get open a lot for you. A lot of just like clutch, short yardage situations. You went to him sure-handed. I thought it was really great to see him. A player that I'll get into a little bit later, Jalen Conyers, I was really excited watching him. He had a great catch on that 4th and 13, which makes I had to wonder in the stadium at the time if our coaching staff knew it was 4th and 13 because it was a bizarre go for it situation.
And to just throw like a back shoulder deep pass like that.
An amazing catch by Conyers. Again,
he said he didn't know if he had it either.
In the stadium, they announced that it was 3rd and 13 before that play.
Maybe
And so that's where I'm like, did the coaching staff get confused? Even though the officials on the sideline had it correct on 4th down. But either way, it didn't end up biting you in the butt. You ended up getting a sick touchdown. But my question about Jalen is I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked so much better than Mason Tharp did. I kind of want to see, unless you're using Tharp for blocking, I kind of want to see Conyers get more snaps. Like one of the things I was disappointed by is he would make a great play, then he would come out, and I'm like, oh, man, he's an obvious mismatch because he's fast, dude. He, like, gets out there. Some of the plays they're running for him, he's just a clear mismatch over these linebackers who don't have that kind of speed to match him. I'm hoping he gets more run because that is a weapon. I'm excited for him. I was excited for him before the season, but after seeing this game one, I was like, wow, this is going to be a player for you.
Yeah, I mean, and if he keeps doing it, you can't keep him off the field,
Yeah.
Play yourself into more snaps type deal. And it might have been an ACU thing of we're just going to rotate the two dudes as we go. And so, yeah, he's definitely a big plus.
Yeah, I just wonder, it seems like, this is the 3rd, 4th year that I don't know how long Tharp's been here. It feels like forever now. But it feels like every year we're like, we can't get him the ball. Well, you could clearly see that Conyers can get open and get the ball. And I really just think that that he's a guy who needs to be used a lot.
You want to do the Micah Hudson talk real quick while we're in the receiver room?
Yeah, so Micah Hudson, of course, the first five-star player to come to Texas Tech, highly touted wide receiver. A lot of talk this offseason. First game, I think he played three snaps for us. Zero targets. A lot of people wondering why online. What's your thoughts on the Micah Hudson situation here to start the season?
Again, I'm in the boat of it's okay, don't freak out type situation. I mean, you were in a shootout of a game and Joey's come out and said we were playing the experienced guys.
Yeah.
And also, your experienced guys were having really good games. So
yeah,
you're going to take them off the field. Like, even Coy's a young dude, but you've seen what he can do in the last.
You trust him.
And, you trust and him. Baron, and obviously, Barron trusts him.
Yeah.
And then Kelly and Caleb were having really good, solid games where you saw like everybody
taking off
above him was having a good slash yeah. better game. Two that kind of factors into that is he is a true freshman. He missed all of spring and who knows how much of summer with the little knee cleanup he had. Mm-hmm. And if, I don't know if I'm misremembering or correct here, but I think he was banged up a little bit in fall camp. Also,
and yeah, might have been,
and didn't go, you know, 100% there. So, like, it's okay, he's still learning. I mean, it's different going from high school ball to now in the big, you know, so it's okay to let him sit and learn. And he's not going to get frustrated with just this one game, it's okay, especially with the dudes above him. Last year would have been a different story, this year, not so much.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think, like, in theory, he was supposed to play this game, but you, probably. Like you said, we messed around and made this a game. And who are you taking off the field, like, right. in those situations that your best receivers? No, like, I would have loved to see him get some run, but that's not our offense's fault. Maybe it is a little their fault for if they capitalize on a few things, but, you know, that's really just your team's fault for keeping this a close game. And really not giving the backups a chance, sure. you know, to go in and play. And so that's why he's not getting any run. And who is he going to replace on the field that you feel better about right now? And I've heard some stuff that maybe he's not necessarily ready just yet. I think a lot of people were listening to Joey being like, oh, yeah, he's day one ready, you know, all that stuff. And he said that,
but not necessarily make as much impact as these other guys.
Yeah. And he's part of the Mahomes NIL team, which I think is something that
he ain't going anywhere.
helps me keep the faith that he's still going to be here.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for, at least. But I get the frustrations. You know, you want to see him out on the field and kind of see what he can do. It would have been nice if we had some situations where we could have, you know, got him the ball and got the fanfare out of it. But unfortunately, those situations don't happen when you're in a tight game with the ACU. So unfortunate, but. Last offensive stats, no turnovers in this game. Barron played a really clean game. That was one of the best things I saw from him was his ability to protect the football and not throw picks, get it to our guys, keep the ball on moving in our direction. The one other criticism I'll have on the offensive line, lots of penalties. I think I counted six false start penalties.
Yeah.
Which that's fixable. That's first game jitters, stuff like that. That's not super worrisome. There's a few holds. One of those holds was Mason Tharp. So, you know, that's not on the offensive line. There's a few penalties on them. The annoying part was the false start thing because it felt like a lot of times you get momentum, you have false start that knocks you back and kind of, you know, end up being drive killers. So any other little offensive tidbits from this game you want to dissect?
No, that's my opinion on the O-line, too. I mean, they're still going to play with who is where and fits best and go from there. And, yeah, the false start penalties can hopefully be drilled out of them. Sometimes we've seen NFL teams or college teams that they don't, but hopefully they can be.
Yeah, that's a timing thing. That'll get corrected.
I agree. It's
their first game of playing together. You know, and so I think that stuff that'll get ironed out. I'm not overly worried about that unless we go in next week and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Then I'll start getting a little bit concerned. by that. But overall, I thought, yeah, your offense looked like looked pretty decent for week one. Scored 50 points for the first time, as I said, in over a season. So that was nice to see. How would you like to see the offense build on this performance kind of into this next week?
I think the biggest thing I've noticed and definitely heard about is the second half consistency.
Yeah.
And keeping drives going. I mean, looking at the drive chart, we had 5 possessions in the second half, not including overtime. And we had one touchdown out of that.
Yeah.
So, and it was kind of on a trick play. So that possession took 7 seconds. So
yep.
To have a drive that's like 5 minutes and 13 plays and you got to kick the ball, that sucks. And then a 2-minute one, like our drives are way better than last year, like timing wise. I know I talked about this a lot last year, but times are way, way better. But we got to keep those drives going, get more yards and first downs, and then score those with touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the consistency is a big thing here. I think the consistency team-wide needs to be preached. I think one of the frustrating things to me was you get off to that start, and then it just kind of seems like it fizzles out. I don't know what the coaching staff does. They preached the 60 minutes of us thing last year. But it's like they it's like these
1-0 today.
1-0 today. I know that's a thing this year, but it's like they teach, hey, if you get out on a team, cut by a couple scores, they're just going to quit and the game's over. This is like what we've done the last 2 years. We got to figure out how to play a complete game, especially at the start of the season. Because
I was saving that for a talk at one point.
But yeah, second half, I would like to see some more consistency. I'd like to see us take some more shots. We have a lot of these plays. It's nine, a lot of these drives, there's 9 plays, 13 plays or whatever like that. I would like to be able to see us hit a quick a couple times. It was nice seeing us go out there for one play, hit on a big touchdown, on a little trick play. Not glad we have to use a trick play against ACU, but it'd be nice to see us take some shots. I was watching ACU's offense take shots on our defense all, and I was getting so jealous. I was like, oh man, look how they stretch the field.
I feel like we've said this last year.
It'd be nice to be able to do that instead of like dink and dunk our way down to touchdowns. I need to see us be a little bit more aggressive on that end of the ball. But now let's get to the side that's got everybody up in flame this season. This is not going to be fun. And I'll be interested to see if you have any bright spots on this. You said you are coming in on the positive side, but the defense gave up 51 points to Abilene Christian on Saturday. That's the first glaring red flag right there. Maverick McIver, former Red Raider, threw for 506 yards and 3 touchdowns, almost 10 yards per pass attempt. ACU had over 200 yards on third downs while completing 11 of 16 attempts on third down. And ACU really dominated the time of possession. They had the ball for 33 minutes, 48 seconds of this game. Pretty brutal game one on the defensive side of the ball for a unit that I think a lot of us felt pretty confident was going to be your better unit heading into the season. But big red flags on that side of the ball this season. Dustin, your thoughts on the week one performance from a very young defense?
Yeah, we are sold the lots of dudes and strength and numbers, whatnot, studs. Well, maybe that's not a good thing in this case, especially when a couple of your strength and numbers leaders are out for most of the game. And now, like, Adatare is out for the year. That really hurts your pass rush.
Braylon Lux not playing really hurt.
He wouldn't have fixed everything, but he's your best cornerback.
He would have helped keep Jalen Peoples off the field, and he got cooked.
Right. So, last year we didn't have a pass rush, but we had a pretty good secondary. You can't have both be bad.
Yeah. Didn't have pass rush. I don't think you got one sack.
You can't have both be bad. Like, you got to have one or the other, or both are great. And so, defense has to really go to the drawing board. I did hear something interesting that they had a long conversation with the Abilene Christian offensive coordinator. Basically, like, what'd y'all see? What were y'all doing? And they kind of, it's kind of open book post game deal, which is really cool. Probably very helpful. But yeah, having secondary was, I think, by far the worst part. Yeah, having a lot of dudes I've talked about last week that, because I went over them, I listed a lot of redshirt freshmen and redshirt sophomores that don't have starts but have a lot of fill-in work. Turns out that wasn't a great experience.
Yeah.
They don't have starts. And then, like, the whole Jalen Peoples thing, he was listed as the depth chart and played a lot more at safety last year. And I think he was at corner Saturday, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, he was side of Mohorn.
Yeah, maybe let's not do that again. That was a bad experiment. So
it was lost out there, like, literally. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen it besides DJ Polite Bray, a corner just looking absolutely lost. Like, every time he'd be 10 yards off a guy, you're like, what are you doing? What are you covering there? Like,
one of your only pluses up front was Big D, to Braylon Carroll, had a forced and recovered fumble early in the game. So that was nice. And I mean, your linebackers played okay. I wouldn't say they played good either, though. Okay is all they get.
Yeah, I would say you could feel when – I think we tried a lot of Rodriguez and Roberts at the same time. Then we would take them off, and you would feel when they were on the field. I feel like they've got to be on the field almost every snap for some amount of consistency. I think they were out there when you needed those big stops, and you know, that I think was one of the main reasons. You know, your probably defensive play of the game is that 2-point conversion stop where you're able to just the D line got through, read the play right, and got that tackle. But not a lot of bright spots at all there.
I mean, I expected Maverick to have a good game coming into this, not game of his life type deal though. Like, great job by him.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, did they know our signals? There's a lot of conversation on that. You know, how are they reading us? A lot of new faces, first game jitters. You know, there's all sorts of excuses you can make, but that was just a terrible performance. You know, and if they know our signals, I mean, everybody's known that people have been stealing signals for the last several years. Fucking change your signals.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, like, what are we doing out there? You got a whole headset thing that you can talk to the players now. Like, to help kind of get rid of the signals and stuff like that. You've got to figure out a way. That's on you at that point.
How do they have your signals game one, though?
Because you're not changing your signals, maybe. I don't know.
Stupid. Like, you should have everything changed, and you've had a month to put this in.
Yeah. If they know your signals, there's more to question about on our side than how they know your signals, I think. But yeah, not a lot of bright spots on the defense.
Nope.
Do you think there's hope for this defense, or is this going to be a Cliff Kingsbury-esque year where you're scoring 40, 50 points, but losing?
That's a very easy possibility. He might be back to the Cliff and Mike Leach days of first to 50 wins type deal. I do think I mentioned earlier, like, this was very eye-opening for the defense. I do think Tim DeReeder goes about his team and coaching and scheme a lot different after seeing them live. And he's been around for a long, long time and had, variety of players and, experience of players. So I have faith that he can make some adjustments. Now, he can't fix it all. The players have to do it at some point.
Yeah. Only so much he can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're obviously going back to the drawing board, trying to figure out how to put players in a better situation. I think that was one of the things he mentioned.
Yep.
I definitely have more faith in him than I did the old Cliff coordinators of getting this kind of figured out and figuring out a way for these players to help us out on defense and get some stops. So I'm very curious to see what it'll look like this week, if it'll just be the same and you're just like, oh gosh, this is going to be one of those years defensively. But definitely an eye-opening. Yeah, we're used to that. Was hoping to get away from that. Had the confidence and all the confidence in the world. Wonder if RC is sweating that defensive backs being the best position group for the Red Raiders. Not an ideal start for that take. I'm gonna have to like at him and be like, oh, freezing cold takes that maybe. But the Red Raiders did get the victory. It's time to move on. It was a brutal victory, but a victory nonetheless. And when we do get a victory, that means we open up Club Red.
Hood hit Chester! Somebody turn on some damn music!
The club is open for the first time this season. Who is your offensive VIP?
Josh Kelly, new wide receiver for you. 10 receptions, 156 yards, and a TD. Helped in on the trick play there. But yeah, it was Barron's favorite target. Very consistent, good game. Love what we saw from number three, Josh Kelly.
Yeah, that's a great pick. He was in my top two running. I kind of thought you were going to go that way, so I wanted to give somebody else love. We already gave him love earlier in the episode, but that's new tight end Jalen Conyers. I was really enjoying what I saw from him in this first game. I think he brings a whole new dynamic to this offense. I had a sick catch, some versatility out of the tight end position. I hope he gets more play. But yeah, I really loved what I saw from him, so he's getting my Club Red VIP nod for offense. Obviously Taj Brooks gets in every week, so we don't gotta mention him. Honorable mention, yeah. Baron Morton, career high in passing touchdowns.
Coy with two touchdowns.
So that'll be that. Defensive VIP, Dustin. Does anybody get in on the defense
after? I like your picks. I am gonna actually pick one person. Now they don't get the same table treatment that the offense gets. They basically just get in the door. Yeah.
They're like, fine, we'll let you in.
Yeah, like, we'll let you cut line. That's about it. Jacob Rodriguez did have good game at 12 tackles for you, held himself down. So I'll give him a shout there and let him in.
Yeah, and he was a part of the play that helped the victory. Yeah. So that was big. My joke was just the drone show the VIP for this one, because the defense didn't give us anything. The drone show was awesome. Anybody ask you about the game, they're like, yeah, the drone show was cool.
Nice.
The drone starts with a D, so I'll give the drone show my defensive VIP. I don't want to shout anybody out for that performance. We're going with special teams this year because Coach Powers has got that. Or Coach Powers, Coach Perry.
Kenny Powers.
Coach Perry has got that group rolling these last few years. And started off, I feel like we both know who the special teams VIP is. That's Dre McCray.
Yeah.
Special teams player of the week for the Big 12 Conference. He averaged 55 yards per return.
Is that good?
Which is crazy. He broke three off that were pretty dang good. He had to be dragged to the ground sometimes. Just outstanding performance from Dre McCray. Your thoughts on him? And we already knew he was a weapon there, but coming out with a bang this season.
Yeah, I don't even get disappointed that he doesn't get the ball on offense anymore. Because now we have wide receivers. And just let him do the return game because it's so good. And then like the very end of the game when ACU tied it up, there's about 8-11 seconds somewhere in there. And I was like, oh, please just kick it to Dre. I don't think they did. I think you called me off.
Yeah, they kicked it to Jordan Brown.
Who still had a good return, though. A decent return. So it's like, God. So, yeah, he's a weapon back there for us for sure.
Yeah, just some pretty incredible returns to get you really great field position. So it was really fun watching him do his thing. Yeah, Kenny Perry's done a great job with this special teams group. That I think, you know, everybody was consistent. You made all your field goals. I don't really remember punting, but
you had three field goals from two different guys. They were rotating. Yeah. Punts, you only had two. They were fun.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody did a pretty good job there. Good returns and everything on special teams so far. I would say overall your best group there in this first game. So. Shout out to our first week Club Red VIPers. Hopefully we are back next week to bring in some more people to the club. But that'll do it for our AC. Or before we get out of here, before ACU, we got to do our prediction recap. My bad. Our predictions did not go well. Anytime you have a 52-51 game against ACU, most of your predictions not right, probably. I had 45-10 as the final score. Dustin had 55-20. He did get close to our score on that, but that's about it. We both had Texas Tech covering the -32.5. We were both wrong there. One of the predictions, the only prediction right, was Dustin did have the over, over 57.5. That was way over, so good job on that. I had the under on that. My offensive prediction, I had a Micah Hudson TD. Nope. Dustin had the 250-plus passing and 200-plus rushing.
I was close.
He was close. We had over 250 passing, but we only had 161 rushing. And then defense, I had to take three. Nope, we had one turnover. And then Dustin had the 2-for-2 sacks, two guys with two sacks. And nope, we had zero sacks, I think. Let's see. Yep, zero sacks for the Red Raiders. So a lot of nopes across the board there for our ACU predictions. Maybe we'll get some right this here in week two, which presents a new challenge in itself against the Washington State Cougars. So before we get into Washington State, just an injury update. Dustin did mention this earlier, but Joseph Adidere is now out for the season. So that makes two edge rushers, Dylan Spencer and Joseph Adidere, out for the entire season. Brutal. A questionable list was announced as well. That's Braylon Lux, who missed game one, CJ Baskerville, Taj Brooks, Harvey Dyson, John Curry, and Quincy Ledet, all listed as questionable for our game on Saturday night. Those would be some really big losses if they are unable to play. Baskerville, Lux, two huge defensive players for you. Harvey Dyson, a valuable edge rusher. Quincy Ledet, got big guy up the middle. And then, of course, Taj. So hopefully those guys are good to go for Washington State, which is coming off a 70-30 victory over Portland State over the weekend. Quarterback John Madeira threw for 352 yards and five touchdowns while also rushing for 55 yards and a rushing TD. They were led by Wayshawn Parker, their running back, with 96 yards and one touchdown. Wide receivers Kyle Williams had 141 yards and two touchdowns, while Chris Hudson had 101 yards and one touchdown. Their defense gave up 234 yards passing and 215 yards on the ground while forcing one turnover, which was a pick six. So that's how what they are coming off of as the Red Raiders head to Pullman, Washington. Dustin, your thoughts on this matchup with the Washington State Cougars?
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting game. You got Josh Kelly making the return game. Yep. So maybe he's helping us out with some of what they're
signals.
Doing. A couple other interesting things, like they have a lot of Texas Tech ties in some of their coaching staff. Their offensive coordinator, I don't have his name pulled up right now, but I told today he is from Childress and then coached in Seminole. And then Kitley, as he had some connections, went to Houston Baptist with him and to Western Kentucky with him. And so he's a little like Kitley in that kind of style air raid.
Same tree.
So a lot of weird similarities between these teams. Play style, coaching staff, some players as well. So, and then you got the Mike Leach thing that you're going to talk about in a little bit. So interesting game. We know night games, West Coast are not our immediate favorite. So
nightmares from
just
last
road
year.
Games in general. So it's a little interesting coming into this.
Yeah, another like late kickoff that we're gonna have to wait for. You remember the Wyoming game was supposed to be earlier, but we had the rain delay that pushed it back a little bit later. But nightmares from that game last season. Hopefully not doing the same thing. This is a huge opportunity to go and kind of either erase that taste from last week, bounce back with a huge victory. You know, I have seen a lot of people on Twitter talking about, hey, Oklahoma State lost to South Alabama pretty bad last year. They bounced back, went to the Big 12 championship game. You know, there's been teams that have struggled to start seasons off in the past and have bounced back and had really good seasons. It is a huge opportunity to go in, get a victory against a competitive squad on the road, and erase that kind of memory from your from our minds and start thinking a little more positively. Or this is an opportunity to go in and play another terrible game and kind of have the hope, all hope for the season erased. You know, I've said it and I keep saying it. I'm reserving most of my thoughts until after this game is over. I'm still trying to give them some time after this first week. It's been really hard, but I'm still trying to give them through this week to prove themselves.
That's big of you.
Thank you. Thank you. And if they go out and do it, I'll be very happy. And if they do not, then, you know, I'll make my judgments afterwards. But it's a huge opportunity for the Red Raiders to go and try to right this ship and see if the defense can play better and if this offense can build off of a pretty decent start to the season. So that just begs the question. I know we've talked about defense a lot. Do you think they can bounce back against a Washington State offense that just put up 70 points, albeit Portland State? But that's their equivalent of ACU, and they did sure what they were supposed to do there.
That's definitely the tough question, and what we're looking at is, can we slow them down and stop them enough? Like I kind of just mentioned, I just hope DeRuiter and Joey can change up some schemes and people and get people in better positions, and change some things for the better, because obviously what we did last week wasn't it. Maybe we were super vanilla last week and maybe too much. We have stuff we can add. Obviously Braylon Lux would help tremendously. The upfront stuff kind of just like last year. I don't know, man. I've said it before, maybe we need to create their pass rush. I don't know. But I think a lot of scheme stuff gets changed this week, and I hope we see that on Saturday night.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It doesn't scream encouragement that you couldn't get the pressure on the quarterback against ACU. It doesn't make me feel like we're going to just all of a sudden be able to start doing that with better competition. And so, I'm just really curious to see what kind of changes are made, what things are ran different. Do we try to simplify things a little bit more for the defensive backs back there, just to know where they got to be, know the guys they got to cover? Are we going to get a lot more run out of Jacob Rodriguez and Ben Roberts? Are you going to see some three linebacker sets where Bryce Ramirez is out there to try to help, you know, get you more guys with experience on the field? I'm just not really sure what the answer is. I'm just hoping DeRuiter has some answers that can at least get you some stops and give you confidence enough that, hey, maybe we can get a stop here. Because game one, it was like, oh my gosh, they got the ball back, they're gonna go score. That's never a good feeling to have. You want to have the feeling that you could force a punt, create a turnover. And so we'll see. Offense, what do you look to see from them this week to build off of a 52 point performance?
Yeah, offense, I love what we saw last week, especially to begin the game. First half was amazing. Two things. I hope the line maybe figures some more continuity out and who's where and cleans that up. Obviously, the blocking for Taj, because I have a feeling, I don't know, this is probably everybody, but they're going to probably sell out to try to stop Taj first.
Yeah.
And then, if they do that, can Barron, you know, unleash a little like he did on ACU? And then, like, a better, more consistent second half from Kittley and the offense in general.
Yeah, I want to see a complete game from them. Mm-hmm. That's really what I'm looking for. You know, better than the first two drives that, you know, you've been scripting all. You know, those two drives have probably been scripted from the, I don't know how long ago. How's he going to start now? We used to joke some of our scripted stuff with him is not necessarily that great in the past. So, you know, hopefully he comes out the gates firing and can keep that consistent throughout, keep their defense on their toes by putting pressure on them with Barron's arm and these wide receivers, and take advantage of those opportunities when you hand the ball to Taj. And, you know, hopefully he has a steady workload. But I would like to see Cameron Valdez and Cameron Dickey get some run here. I just really worry about Taj's health, and if he's already like on the questionable report after game one, like you've got to figure out ways to get those guys some touches, like run the ball.
I agree.
Does mean give the ball to Taj a lot, but it also means run the damn ball with some of your other players to keep Taj fresh, because a Taj hurt in week 1, 2, 3 doesn't do anything good for you.
No.
And so I just want to see that. I want to see some creative ways of maybe getting Taj some open running lanes. I think it gets really exhausting watching Kittley just hand the ball to him up the middle. I think there's some stuff you can do to the outside. I think there's halfback screens. There's little pitches. There's sweeps. There's stuff you can do to get him to the outside and get him some running space, because that's where he's truly great, is when he has some space. He's shifty. He's stronger than most of the defensive backs who are trying to bring him down out there. So those are some things I would like to see. But this is a big night for a Washington State, which adds some more to this game. They're playing, of course, they're now in a conference that has been decimated in the Pac-12, playing against a conference that poached several of those teams over to their conference. They're trying to prove that they belong in what's going to kind of be a bizarre year for them in the Pac-2.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Mike Leach Hall of Fame night for Washington State. And, of course, Mike Leach means a lot to both of our programs, as he coached here for many years and then went on after getting let go here to go coach and resurrect Washington State's program. So this guy, a coach that means a lot to both programs, getting honored, a perfect night to do it with Texas Tech coming to town.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on just kind of what Washington State is playing for and how that might impact this game?
Yeah, they are in a weird position. It's really one of their big games of the year. I'm not sure their full schedule, but just for them to try to prove that they still belong,
yeah,
with a Power 4 program, like playing against us. I know they still got Washington on the schedule. They moved some things around.
Yeah, they got Washington after us. And then besides that, it's, you know, Boise State.
Mountain West.
Boise State's probably the best team there. They, you know, their game against Oregon State. But yeah, it's really like these next couple weeks for them, yeah, is their chance.
Like, that's their big game, like to still try to prove even the littlest bit with only two games. So, like, it means a lot. I'm sure it's, you know, the administration probably wants it more than even some of the coaches, yeah, and stuff too. It's also really cool to do the Mike Leach thing, especially with us coming in town. Like, a perfect mashup, yeah, there. The picture that was going around from Washington State last, yeah, week with Cougars on one side of the river and us riding our Matadors on the other side, and then the pirate ship coming down the stream was really, really cool and awesome. So good for them and good for Mike Leach getting inducted into that.
Yeah, I thought that picture was cool. If you look closely at the flags on the pirate ship, it had a flag for each one of his schools that he,
yeah,
nice, stopped at. And the little bridge in the middle was in memory of Mike Leach. And so, you know, that's the cool part in this game, is that we both have that connection to, you know, my favorite Texas Tech coach that I've ever gotten to watch. And, you know, really one of the unique personalities of college football ever. And so him getting recognized in our game with them, that's really cool. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, they're going to be fired up for this one with everything. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that can bite you in the ass. So
yeah,
my hope would be that it kind of bites them in the ass and we can maybe go and take advantage of that. But big game, big opportunity in Pullman on Saturday for the Red Raiders to wipe the memory of the ACU game and get things back on track. And so hopefully they do that. But let's move on with our score predictions for Saturday night's game, late game. You know, we're used to staying up, so it's not that big a deal. But a lot of Red Raiders will be happy to stay up late to catch all of this one. Dustin, when all is said and done and it's past midnight on Saturday into Sunday morning, what do you see the final score being for Texas Tech Washington State?
I'm still going to stay on the positive in a dub in the win column, and I'll take us going with a 38-31 victory.
All right. So you've got defense actually being able to get some stops.
Back down to earth for both sides. But yeah, a little more of a regular game for this.
I am not going positive. I am pretty nervous about this game after that defensive performance and seeing what their offense did last week. And it's going to be really hard to get all of that corrected in 1 week. And so I see this one being kind of a cliff style score. I've got Washington State 52, Texas Tech 41. I think it's going to be high scoring, but I think Washington State at home with a very young Texas Tech defense is going to get the job done. When I saw at first when Texas Tech was like a 1.5 point favorite, then it swung and it was only a Washington State 1.5 point favorite, I went and made sure I got some Washington State on that. And then they released the injury report and I was like, oh my gosh, there's like, this screams disaster if these guys aren't able to play or aren't able to be like anywhere near 100%. That's kind of scary for me. So with those score predictions, Texas Tech is a 2.5 point dog on Saturday as we speak. That means Dustin is going the Texas Tech route to cover the 2.5 points. I am going with Washington State to cover that 2.5 points. The over-under for Saturday night's game is over 65.5 points. Dustin has the over with 38-30. I have way, way, way over with 52-41. It would be. I have seen a lot of people be like, it would be the most Texas Tech thing ever for this next game to come out and be like 30-21 or something like that. So I wouldn't mind your score at all. I wouldn't mind that score at all. So our last predictions, offensive prediction. Dustin, you got an offensive prediction for us.
I think I'm going to simplify these because, especially the defensive one with that group. I think I'm just going to go with a 2-touchdown receiving game for somebody. I won't say receiver because obviously Jalen Conyers could get it, Mason Tarp, but 2-touchdown receptions for a player. Someone.
For a player. Pick your player.
A player. Yeah, I didn't want to go straight receivers because then I'm cutting out two big tight ends out of the equation.
Yeah. I thought you were kind of going along the lines of what I'm going to predict. It's Josh Kelly's return. I feel like they are going to be focused on trying to get him the ball and let him do some damage. So I got him going over 100 yards.
Nice. And adding I would love that.
And adding a touchdown to that. So back-to-back 100-yard games for Josh Kelly, which, you know, seems like it might be a simple prediction, but we only had a guy go over 100 yards twice last season. So to do that in back-to-back games would be mighty impressive. And a touchdown in his return to Pullman. Defensive prediction, Dustin.
These good luck. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a pass rush, so we're going to get off that train real quick. Learned that lesson last year.
Yeah.
But now we don't have really a secondary with Bull Hucks, so only place to go is the linebacking group. So I'm going to go with another 10-plus line tackle game from J-Rod. I'll actually just pinpoint the player on that one then. Get one specific thing out of it.
I'm just going to go defense doesn't give up 500 yards passing.
Hey, we got to simplify our defensive stuff. I mean, we struggled last year with it. We're even worse on the field this year at this moment. And so they're making it hard on us. It's not our fault.
Yeah, I was like, you know, defense doesn't give up 500 yards passing to Washington State. That's simple, right? Hopefully. After giving up 506 this last week. So that's my simple prediction. Hopefully. If I get that one wrong again, I'm going to be pissed. There's no hope for this defense if I get that one wrong. But that's our predictions for Texas Tech, Washington State. Dustin going with a 38-30, right?
31.
38-31.
I'll take
victory.
Both 30 and 31.
Yeah. 38-31 victory over Washington State. I am going with a 52-41 victory for Washington State. That means Dustin has Texas Tech plus 2.5. Yeah. I have Washington State minus 2.5. Over under prediction of 65.5. We are both hitting the over on that. Dustin's offensive prediction, 2 touchdowns for a receiver, player to be named later. And I have Josh Kelly in his return with 100 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, trying to keep it simple. Dustin going with 10-plus tackles for Jacob Rodriguez, usually a lock. And I'm going for the defense, not giving up 500 yards.
Trying to take a couple locks there. Yeah, some easy layups.
Trying to get some easy dubs for us. We'll see if we're able to get those easy dubs. Saturday night against Washington State. We'll be over at some friends watching the game, tweeting away. So hope that you guys enjoy watching this one. Hopefully the Red Raiders give us something to cheer for on Saturday night. And with that, that'll do it for our Texas Tech football coverage for the week. Before we get out of here, Dustin, do you have any final shots for us?
Football's finally back in full swing. I mean, NFL starts Thursday by the time you're hearing this. So Chiefs and Ravens play Thursday night. And then the Eagles, Packers, I think Brazil game is Friday. So that'll be interesting. Did you hear they're not wearing any green in those games?
I did not.
For some gang-related stuff. I don't know. But the fact that they sent
like,
the two main green teams was the stupidest thing. The Eagles are wearing white with black helmets and black pants.
The Packers, they're just old yellow
white
helmet.
Out maybe, I don't know. Yellow. Like, stupid the there. Hell? But yeah, it'd still be cool. NFL's in full swing. Oh, we had another whiteout that got ruined by the other team. Eastern Kentucky tried to do it, and Western came out and said we're wearing all white. So
yeah,
two for two on that. The other funny thing is it's week one and Florida State's 0-2.
Yeah.
So there's my random tidbits for final shot.
Yeah, you know, 52-51 wasn't ideal against ACU, but at least we're not Florida State right now.
We're not 0-2 after week one is the best.
Holy hell. To Georgia Tech and Boston College, not even like. And then I saw.
I watched that game.
I saw Boston College receivers only had like 17 yards.
Dude, they have this little quarterback who, he can move. He's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched a little bit of that game. Was having a fantasy draft during it, but yeah, I was able to keep an eye on it. Jaran Bradley, remember, he's at Boston College. I don't think I saw him
do crap.
Didn't do squat. So
good for him.
Good for
him. He wouldn't do crap here either.
Yeah, it was same. My final shot, just NFL's back. Chiefs, Ravens kicking off the season. Fantasy football ready to go. Got my drafts.
Set your lineups. Go there. Games start tomorrow.
Pay attention. Hollywood Brown is not playing tomorrow.
No.
Make sure he's not in your starting lineup. But yeah, it's at that time of year where football on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday, Monday. just keeping us busy, watching fantasy players do their thing, watching college football, big games this week, Texas and Michigan.
Ooh, baby.
So yeah, we're back. It's awesome. I love this time of year. Feels great. And hopefully Texas Tech gives us a lot of good memories to keep this season, exciting for us.
Yeah.
And so that's what we hope for. And to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks through the Texas Tech football season and beyond. Follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars for the Tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at Tailgate_talks. If you want to get our thoughts on the game, interact with us, make sure you're following us there. But we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. We want to thank you guys for hanging out with us this week, talking Texas Tech football. Hope you enjoy your at-home tailgates as you watch the Red Raiders take on the Washington State Cougars. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.